We have been looking at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob thus far this year. Abraham being one of the most prominent figures in the whole Bible, and especially in the Old Testament and the New. And God has blessed us. But you hear this phrase, Brother Bear read it two or three times this morning, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the emphasis in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Because as I began to study the life of Abraham and Noah and Enoch and all the rest of it, you understand that these were real people. They were real men. And every one of them failed in some way. They were just like me and you. But it's not the emphasis on Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph, but it's on their God. We have an awesome God. I wanted to take of all the four patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, there's less said about Isaac than any of them. Abraham, for instance, we had over 11 chapters dedicated to him in the Bible and three times mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And for Isaac, there's only one short verse in the book of Hebrews, and then primarily most of his life is given in about one chapter in the Old Testament with other mentions, a few chapters there in a row. But I believe God would say something to us about who he is demonstrated in the life of Isaac. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I took a long time on Abraham and a little bit pieces at the time. I know it's kind of disjointed some, but I hope maybe you got the gist. But I did leave out a few. I want to just mention one of them this morning. It's kind of been burning in my heart that I didn't deal with. And the God of Abraham is a God who judges sin. You don't get by with sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. But we see the evidence throughout the Bible that God judges sin. Nobody gets by without it. There's a payday coming one of these days for every person who sins, and we're all sinners. But thankfully, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree. What's the significance of that? The Bible said, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. And so when Christ had all of our sin on him, on Calvary, God judged all of our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered your punishment. He paid the wages. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. He paid the ransom. And we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the lifetime of Abraham, his nephew Lot, they had a division among Abraham and Lot. And he said, it's too big for us. We've got too many herds, too many people. And Abraham gave him the choice of what we call now the promised land. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And Sodom was a wicked city. He was leaning that away. And maybe you remember the story, how that God sent angels by the house of Abraham and said, shall I withhold from my servant Abraham what I'm going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? And the bottom line was this, he was about to destroy those cities as well as a couple other cities in the plain. Lot was living there. Abraham began to bargain with God and said, God, would you destroy that city if we could find 50 righteous people? And God said, I wouldn't destroy it if there were 50. And then he said, well, now be patient with me. How about 40? And then 30. And finally down to 10. And there were not 10 righteous people in all that city. And when God delivered Lot, he called him and sent angels. And the angels had to take him and his wife by hand and lead them out, get them out of the city. But when they were out, fire failed and destroyed and annihilated those cities. You can't go visit Sodom. You can't go visit Gomorrah because they're not there anymore. God sent judgment on them. My dear friend, I remind you once again that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God who judges sin. Because we've looked so much at the wonderful grace of God and the mercy of God and the blessings of God on Abraham and Noah and all the rest of them, that we forget that he's a God of judgment as well. But we have mercy and grace through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in chapter 21, and I'll read just a few things and share with you this morning about the life of Isaac and draw from the life of Isaac some lessons about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that God would have us to know who He is, and He reveals Himself in His names. He reveals Himself in this truth, the Word of God. He reveals Himself in the lives of people. And so looking at the life of Isaac this morning, of course, he is the son of Abraham. And let's begin reading, and this is prior to his birth in chapter 21. And the Lord said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. Now he's talking about Ishmael. God had appeared to Abraham when he was 75 years old, and he said, I'm going to give you a son, and through that son will thy seed and all your seed following, your seed will be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea, and I will give you this land, this promised land, what we call the land of Israel. I'll give it to you and to your seed forever. And that was his promise. And then as time went on, his wife Sarah was not able to get pregnant. And getting ahead of God and trying to do things that sometime Brother Barry reminded us this morning, you just have to wait on God. Because God's always on time. Sometimes it seems like it's not, but you've been praying about something, God's on time. And so his wife Sarah had a handmaid, had somebody who served her. And she said, take my handmaid, Hagar, and you have a child by her, and he'll be your seed. And that's how God's going to fill the promises. You always get in trouble if you try to help God out. And of course, Abraham did, and they conceived, and she bore a son, and they called his name Ishmael. But he was born of the flesh. He was born of the will of God, of man, not of the will of God. And he was not the promised. And so now we come down to the time when Sarah has now been expecting. And so he's going to be, the other Ishmael's going to be cast out. But now let me read on further. And God said unto Abraham, let not thou be grievous in thy sight because the lad, because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken and to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Will you bow in prayer, for prayer? Father, I pray now, God, the Holy Ghost would breathe on me. Help me, Lord Jesus, to know and to do your will. And God, I pray for your anointing and power this morning. God, I pray that it would not be dead. I pray it wouldn't be stale. I pray, God, it wouldn't be just words. But God, I pray for the quickening, anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God. And God, that you'll speak to the heart of men, women, boys, and girls here in the building. And God, I pray, God, that you draw those who are lost and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, for those of us, our Father, as the choir has sung, as Miss Cindy sang this morning, oh God, I pray that their voice of the Lord would raise the dead, that God, you'd quicken us and revive us, and God, that you would just move here in this service this morning. God, forgive us and purge us. God, I'm glad I can bow before you and confess there's no good thing in me. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost to speak this morning, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all of the four patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, Isaac has the least said about him in the Bible. And there are three perhaps major instances in life that you may have, if you've been in church for some time, you've probably studied about his birth, about the fact that he was offered as a sacrifice, and about the fact that as a daddy, that he married and had children, and he is the father of Jacob and Esau. And his life ends with blessing those two sons. Jacob, we saw this morning, as Brother Barry was talking about, you have Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. The promise was repeated and emphasized in the life of Isaac. And then Jacob comes along, and it's an interesting life. We're going to study the life of Jacob and see God in his life. But his name was changed. And most of you know that his name changed to Israel. And so when we have the nation of Israel, Abraham's the father, the promise continued in Isaac, and then in Jacob, the name appears, the nation of Israel. And Jacob has 12 sons. One of those sons was Joseph, and we'll study about that. a little bit later on. But here we see Isaac. And I wanted to this morning, as I was studying over the last whole Brother Barry, I've been wallowing around with Isaac now for 2 weeks and asking God to help me, give me a word. I pray it. I wanted to do an acrostic with his name because there's not a whole lot of things in there, and I could kind of, if the Lord would help me, hang them all together. But I only got to the first one, Mitchell, and that's as far as I got. I only got one. And here it is. The God of Isaac is the God who initiates birth. He initiates birth. He's the starter. If you go back a little bit further, you'll find that God promised Abraham a son when he was 75 years old. Again, a little later, he will repeat that promise. And in that promise, he will give him a name. His name's going to be Isaac. And here again, you see him mention the name Isaac. God gave Isaac his name, but he initiated a birth. He announced his birth 25 years before he was ever born. He said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all of thy nations of the earth be blessed." Through the lineage of his son Isaac would come that blessing, and it goes on down through the line. When you come to Isaac, you understand that he is the God of supernatural birth. Abraham was 75 years old when God said, "You're going to have a son." But it went on, time wore on. 25 years later, when he's 100 years old, the angel comes and repeats the story. Sarah laughs because she's 99. And when she laughs, they said, "We're going to call his name." They said, "You call his name Isaac." You know why? Because the word Isaac means to laugh. And all the rest of her life, when she had that child and nursed that child and saw him growing to be a young man before she died, then she looked at him and remembered the fact that she laughed at the promises of God. But God turned that laughter into joy. It was a laughter of disbelief, but it turned out to be a laughter of joy in her life. God promised her Isaac, gave to her. God initiated that birth, and it was a supernatural birth. The Bible clearly says that Abraham was as good as a dead man. He could not no longer be father children. She had passed the time of life when she could have children, but God miraculously gave her a child, and what a blessing. And I would remind you that that's exactly where you and I were. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And the Bible says of us, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that seeketh after God." And you were dead in trespasses and sin. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. But he is a God of supernatural birth. How that blesses my heart. Everybody in this building who has been born again, raise your hand. I want you to know you're the product of a supernatural birth. He initiated that birth. My friend, there was a time that God began to work in your heart when you were dead in trespass and sin. You were not righteous. You were full of sin. You were not seeking God. You were dead in trespasses and sin, and God began to do a work in your heart. He began to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he knew you before you were ever born, and he's named you, and he called you, and he spoke to your heart. You who couldn't do a thing to save yourself, he quickened you, made you alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise is, I believe, to whosoever will. What a blessing. You have children, grandchildren, and family members. You look at them, and they're so far away from God. They're so deep in sin. And I hang on to that with every prayer I pray, that God is the God of supernatural birth. I mean, it's not persuasiveness of us. I was reading again this week when Paul was speaking to one of the churches, and he said, "I did not come to you with the excellency of speech or in the wisdom of men, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost." You've got people you think they're so lost they could never be saved. They are as good as dead men, but God is a God of supernatural birth. Beyond human reasoning, you can't persuade them to be a Christian. You can't educate them to be a Christian, but God can quicken them. God can, like a lightning bolt from heaven, the Holy Ghost of God convict their heart. They see their self a sinner and they see the Savior perfect and is their own personal Savior. And in a moment, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They cry from their heart and Jesus gives them everlasting life. That's a supernatural resurrection. If you've ever experienced that, you say amen. Hallelujah. Thank God He did that for you. Thank God He's a God of supernatural birth. To be born again, He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a man who was educated. He had memorized the first five books of the Bible. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the leaders in the nation of Israel in the religious realm. But he was lost and on his way to hell. And he said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And God can do that. It's a supernatural birth. And the God of Isaac, every day they saw him, it's a miracle. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Abraham couldn't believe it. His wife Sarah couldn't believe it. The neighbors couldn't believe it. Here's this child who was born supernaturally. He initiated the birth. He began the birth. He promised the birth 25 years before it ever happened. And my dear friend, the same thing's true of a person who comes to know Jesus Christ. Thank God that Isaac is a man and his God is the God of supernatural birth. And we praise the Lord for that. The next major event in the life of Isaac takes place. And somehow in our mind, we've got the idea that Isaac was a little boy when his daddy took him up the mountain. But truth be known, he was probably in his 20s because shortly after this event in chapter 22, it says that Sarah, his mama, died and she died at 127 years old. She had him when she was 99. So she had lived to see him for about 28 years before she died. So the event that we talk about now in chapter 22, I brought you a message on where's the lamb. You remember the story? Abraham had this son and he's grown up now. He's a young man and he sees in Isaac all the promises of God fulfilled. Through this boy, Isaac, I'll have a descendancy. I have a heritage. I'll have seed as the stars of heaven, the sand of the sea. And then God just out of the blue says, I want you to take that boy and I want you to offer him for sacrifice. And the Bible said, and he prepared that. He staggered not at the promises of God. There's no indication that Abraham in any way hesitated. There's no way that he begged God, please don't do this. Don't make me take my boy. And they get all together and they get up early in the morning. They've got the wood, they got the fire, they've got the knife. And he travels with some companions. They come to a point, they see the place where God had told him at three days later, which represents the 3 years in the life of Christ, of his ministry, public ministry. And they go to the place, the father prepares an altar and he takes this boy and ties him up. Now there's no dialogue there, but understand this is not a little boy. This is a 20-year-old perhaps, and he bounds him. There's no dialogue, but there's no indication that Isaac rebelled against his daddy. He didn't struggle. He didn't fight. He didn't have to have handcuffs. I've told you the story about the young man that got saved here. And after he'd been saved some time, he came to me and said, Brother Billy, I need to go to Raleigh. I want you to go with me. And I said, why? He said, I got to turn myself in. He said, I'm wanted there. And I went with him. I remember went to the jail and went in there to the jailer. And he told him who he was and what he'd done and what he was wanted for. And he said, but I've gotten saved. I love the Lord. But I knew I did wrong and I need to do what I've got to do. And so we talked a few minutes and he did some paperwork and he had a jailer to come. And the boy took and he put his hands behind his back, put the cuffs on him. And the jailer and the deputy, the sheriff said, don't do that. Put your hands in front of you. And I don't know who in law enforcement, but if it's a forcible arrest, they put their hands behind them. but if they yield to you, put it to front. And when Isaac came to be offered as a sacrifice, you think about this in this young man's life. He didn't know all that was going on, but he knew at that point that the sacrifice that he'd asked his daddy about, where's the lamb? He said, God shall provide himself a lamb. When he began to bind him and knew what was happening, he knew that he was going to be the sacrifice. And he yielded willingly to the Father. Christ prayed in the garden and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He told those soldiers, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down. If I lay it down, I have power to take it again. Isaac in that picture is a wonderful picture of Christ yielding to the will of the Father. He spared Isaac because he had prepared a ram over there, but here's the New Testament answer to that type. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He spared Isaac that day, who was a picture of Christ. But when he came down to the fulfillment of that type in the person of Christ, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He allowed his son to die, but he delivered Isaac. And Isaac there is a wonderful picture of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lamb, the Bible said, was caught in the thicket by the thorns around his head. The thorns represented on the crown of Christ when they put that crown of thorns on his brow. And he took that ram and he offered him, the Bible said, in the stead of his son in the place of Isaac. And as I reiterate what I said about Abraham, the God of Isaac is not only the God who initiated our birth. He's not only the one, my dear friend, who caused us to be saved, but he's the one who gave our Savior as a substitution for our sin. The God of Isaac is the God of substitution. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to be lost forever because he's willing to take the sacrifice of his dear son, who gave himself willingly to be a sacrifice. And he paid our sin debt, all of our debt, all of your sin has already been paid for. He paid for it on Calvary. And he resurrected him as proof that the payment was paid and he's alive and is alive forevermore. The God of Abraham is a God of substitution. But the God of Isaac is the God who provides the substitute. I love the wording of that verse the Holy Ghost of God gave us in Genesis chapter 22. When Isaac asked a question to Abraham, but where is the lamb? Listen to this, how it's worded. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, I've learned over the years that there's two or three ways to read that verse. God will provide himself a lamb. And he did, the ram. God provided it. God gave it. But there's another way to read it. It is this. God will provide himself a lamb. That's really what God did. Because Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. And God gave himself in the person of his son to die for us on the cross. What an awesome thing and awesome picture that is. God will provide himself a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. And what a wonderful story. I want to mention just briefly passing this. The God of Abraham not only initiates birth and offers a sacrifice, provides the sacrifice, but the God of Isaac is a God of supernatural birth. He's a God who provides substitute, but he's also the God who institutes marriage. Now, there'd been marriages before this time, but this is a beautiful picture. Abraham said, I don't want my son to marry one of the Philistines around here. You go back to my country and to get one of my kindred to be his wife. He says that to his servant. And so the servant goes back into Ur of the Chaldees, back in that area, and he finds, it's actually a cousin down the line, to be the wife of Isaac. Her name is Rebekah. It's a remarkable story. The servant leaves, not even knowing where he's going. And so he prays and said, God, lead me to where I need to go. And he comes to a well, and he got to the well, and he said this, God, if you've led me here, and you've please send somebody by, and when I ask them for water, that they'll be willing to do it. And so sure enough, here comes Rebekah, and he's got his camels, and he said, please give me a drink of the water. And she gave him water to drink, but she said, I'll give you water also for your camels. And I've not calculated it, but whoever, Brother Gary, whoever in Old Testament, they'll tell you how much water a camel drinks. And so she went and drew enough water to water all the camels as well as him. And then she, of course, he goes to her house and he tells her daddy that God had sent me here. I being in the way the Lord led me. And so this servant finds the bride and takes her back. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, that God the Father, God the Son, sent the Holy Ghost of God to find a bride for Christ. And you and I who are part of the bride of Christ, that's a beautiful story. But God planned that marriage. God orchestrated that marriage. And let me just say this to you. You really need to pray, young people, about your mate for life. Boys and girls, you pray, God, lead me. God, send me to the right one. God does initiate that work, that marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, he explains it, how that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. I love the church. And it's a beautiful picture. And God's in it. You pray for God to send you the right husband, the right wife. Most of the problems that we have in marriages now, over the years, and Satan fights it tooth and nail anyway, but it's because people don't seek God's guidance in the marriage. They find out 6 months, a year later, they married the wrong person out of the will of God. But my dear friend, you ask God to give you that. I have to hasten on. I thought I'd run on through here, Brother Barry, get through here. But I want to tell you something. God is the God of Isaac, one who cautions. He says to him in chapter 26, there came a great famine in the land. Abraham, Jacob, but not Isaac. When the famine came, Abraham went back into Egypt. When the famine came, Jacob goes down into Egypt. But when the famine came, Isaac didn't go down. But he goes to a place called Gerar. Abraham had been there. Abraham had drank water out of a well there. Abraham built an altar there. And he goes to a place called Gerar. Gerar is between the promised land and Egypt. But as he got there, God said, don't you go into Egypt. Don't go into Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. Here's a Christian. And they leave the land of promise. They get out of fellowship with God and they go into a place. They don't go all the way back in the world. They don't go back doing all the things they used to do. But they hang out in a place called Gerar. It's kind of in the middle. And an interesting thing happens there. God told him to do this. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I want you to look in your Bible, chapter 26. In chapter number 26, notice what he says in chapter 26 and 3 in the book of Genesis. In verse 3, he says this, sojourn in this land. Now, sojourn means you don't drive your tent pegs down too deep. You're just there for a short time. You're here passing through. He's sojourning. You remember the story of Ruth and Rahab, Ruth and Naomi, how that they went down and they went to sojourn, and the Bible said then they stayed, they put down tent pegs, and he's saying that you don't plan on staying here. You're not in close fellowship with God. You know Him. He's your Savior. You read your Bible a little bit, but you're not quite as faithful to church as you used to be. You're not on fire. You're not feeling the presence of God. You're not enjoying the services. You're just kind of in this little no man's land between the world and between Christ. And He said, and God said, you sojourn there. But now notice what happens, what it says about Isaac in this passage of Scripture. He said, don't go down. You sojourn in the land. But what it says in verse 6, look at it. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. God said, now you don't go down there. You're just temporary. You're here just temporarily. But the Bible says he dwelt there. He put down tent there. Now here's an amazing thing. When you read it on further, you'll see God blesses him there. That's where he gets his great wealth and everything else. And that place there, when he's kind of out of the will of God. And some of you are just kind of playing church. You're kind of out of the will of God. You're kind of in Gerar. You're kind of not where you used to be, not in revival state, not on fire for the Lord, not excited about the things of God. You're not back in the world, but you come in paying respect to God, but you're not really, but yet God's blessing you. He's meeting your needs. And that leads me to my last point, what I'm going to say this morning. Over and over again, in the short time it tells about Isaac, and it said, and God blessed Isaac, and God blessed Isaac. And in the very beginning, when he made the promise in the covenant, he said to Isaac, I will bless thee. In other words, God's sovereign in that promise. God promised, I'm going to bless you. And aren't you glad? I'm glad God deals with us. I'm glad God deals with us. But I'm glad that God doesn't cut our paychecks off if we get out of the will of God. I'm glad that God don't bring awful sickness to our children and to our family. Now, God will chasten you. But I'm talking now about not Isaac and not me and you, about us being half in and half out and up and down and cold and everything else. I'm talking about the God of Isaac. I'm talking about a God who loved you before the foundation of the world. And he made a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We'll forsake him. We'll turn our back on him. We'll get out in the world. We won't go all the way back to where we were in Egypt. We hang around Gerar. And yet God's still good to us. Still gives us a job. Still gives us our family. Still gives us good times. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a reason they said it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because God, he's a God who keeps his promise. He said, I will bless thee. He is a God of chastening and all that. But I'm going to have to quit right now, right here. I'll leave us there. I don't want us to stay there. He said, now you sojourn here. But Isaac kind of liked it there. He put down roots. But what happens, he gets so blessed, the rulers of the Philistines come to him and said, you got to get out of here. We're afraid of you now. You go back to where you came from. And God uses those people to get him back into the promised land, get him right in the right line with God. My dear friend, listen, God wants us to live in Canaan land, in Beulah land. But he's a great God. He's a God that's merciful to us. And when you realize, I have friends, people in the church, Brother Tony Barham's one of them, different ones. And if I ask them how they're doing, they say, better than I deserve. Can I tell you about the God of Isaac? He gives us better than we deserve. He told him not to dwell there, just sojourn there, but he sat down. He liked it down there, but God blessed him. And I'm telling you, God's been good to me. He's never failed me, but I failed him plenty of time. But I'm just going to tell you this morning, he's God. He's a God of mercy and grace. He saved me when I didn't deserve being saved. He's kept me when I didn't deserve being kept. He's blessed me when I didn't deserve being blessed. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and in particular, Isaac this morning. He is the God that blesses. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With your heads bowed, every eye closed. I would waste my time coming here this morning to try to preach to you if I didn't know there was a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's more to this thing than being a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church. There's a God in heaven who loved you so much, he gave his son as a sacrifice for your sin. And the Bible said that when we get saved, this is true. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? The blessings in my life have not come because I was faithful, because I've been unfaithful. Not because I was dedicated, because I have been half-hearted sometimes. Not because I've been sinless, because I have sinned, but because of his promise, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? When I couldn't pray for myself, he prayed for me. When I didn't deserve blessing, he blessed me. When I didn't deserve his kindness, he showed kindness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear it. Grace, my fear relieved. 'Twas grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will carry me home. I want to tell you this morning about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God who initiates birth. If you're born again this morning, you didn't start that process. He did. And if you're lost this morning, you say, I can't do it. You're exactly right. But he said, if you'll call on the Lord, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Oh, Lord God, I pray this morning that God, the Holy Ghost, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will speak to hearts. I pray, God, that they would understand the awesome grace that you extend to us in the substitutionary death of your Son, that our Father, those of us who are saved, we'd be in hell right now had not God initiated it, had not the Father begin to speak to our heart through the Holy Ghost of God. God, I'm sure glad you spoke to me. I'm glad, God, that you allowed me to believe on you and trust you. And God, you're no respecter of persons. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray this morning that some man, woman, boy, or girl would trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God, this is your work. It's a supernatural birth. Beyond my imagination, their imaginations. You can do things, God, that we can't even imagine you could do. And Lord, least of all, transform us. God, you know my heart. I have loved ones I'm praying for that supernatural birth. Like a lightning bolt from heaven, like Paul on the road to Damascus as he had already confined and killed, I believe, many Christians on his way to gather people for execution and imprisonment. And that bright light of the Holy Ghost of God shone around him. And God, I pray this morning that God, you do that for somebody in the media audience in this building. God, show yourself to be God, Lord, saved. But God, for those of us who are saved, I pray you'd help us to understand that the devil will war against us. He'll beat us down about every little thing we've done or hadn't done. But Lord, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, you use us and you bless us when we don't deserve blessing. And God, we give you praise and honor and glory. And God, I pray, God, this morning you have used us to be a blessing to your people. God, you don't bless us because we're good. You don't bless us because of how much Bible we read. You don't bless us because of what we give in the offering. You bless us because you're the blesser. You're the God of grace and mercy. And not one of us, if we are faithful to read our Bible every day, we're faithful to go to church, you don't bless us because of all of that. You bless us because you chose to bless us and you promised that you'd never ever leave us or forsake us. God, help us to worship you in that. Help us to praise you. God, if there's any reason in the world Baptists ought to rejoice and praise God, is that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your will be accomplished and will be done. And God, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory for it now and magnify that name which is above every name. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Not going to give a long invitation this morning. I believe God's already spoke to your heart. I'd rather you leave here rejoicing and get right with God than do any kind of emotional decision anyway. I pray you'd be saved, that you trust Christ as your Savior. But this morning, I want you to know Him. Know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who loved you so much He gave His Son to die for you, the God who freely by Him will give you all things. And He's blessed me and He's blessed you. Though we were unworthy, He's been good to us. Ought we not to worship Him? Ought we not to praise Him? Ought we not to sing glory to Him? Ought we not to witness about Him and tell others about Him, that surely He's no respecter of person. Paul said He was chiefest of sinners, not that He used to be, but that He was. He felt His unworthiness. He said, in me there's no good thing. But God, I'm sure glad He also said, I am what I am by the grace of God. God, we rejoice and thank you that you're God. Now, Lord, you're dealing with folk. Help them to obey you, whatever it is. So they need to come around this altar. If they need to make some commitment where they are, they need to make a phone call. But God, if they're not saved, I pray, God, that they'd respond to Christ. Dear friends, while we are praying this morning, right where you are, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you call on him? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will save you. He's already given his son to die for you. You trust him now. I sure would love to know it if you do. Let us know. While we're praying this morning, Brother Linwood, would you mind singing one verse for us? Linwood's going to sing one verse. You'll not be the first at the altar. Some are here if you need to come. If I can help you pray with you, I'll do it. I invite you to respond now and come obey Christ this morning. Thank God he's the God of Isaac. He's the God that initiates our birth. He's the God who provides the substitution for us. He's a God that will bless us.